Bloomberg, the first word, with Karen Moscow and John Bascom. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Tom DeMarc from DeMarc Analytics in Scottsdale, Arizona, getting up very early to speak with us. DeMarc Analytics creates indicators to show turning points in securities. The last time you were on with us on May 2nd, you suggested that if stocks reached certain peaks, they would begin a fall that would accumulate an 11% decline. We can't say you're wrong because they didn't reach the peaks, but they're not declining either.
No, well, they've got to satisfy that requirement first before we'd come out with something definitive. We're still looking for the market to have one more thrust upside. Just to give you context, Mike, you know, last October, when your companion publication, Business Week, interviewed me, and at that time, at the October low, we projected a high in the stock market either December 31st or mid-January, and what did we expect to see was a 12.6% rally, and then we did in fact see a 12.6% rally, and then we started making comparisons historically, and this got really taken out of proportion. But we had a high correlation, almost 0.98. between the market into that October low and subsequently that rally, and we made a comparison with 1929, but we did it tongue-in-cheek, and I think it was interpreted in the media that we were forecasting a 1929-type crash. We did see a 22-day decline off that the December 31st peak, just like we did after the September high in 1929, and once we got down to the February lows, we were confident the market was going to rally because they had to have a series just like we're going through right now to break the market down. What we try to do is identify extremes in the market before they occur. We're a firm believer that markets top associated with good news and at a time when the last buyer is bought, figuratively speaking. Conversely, at bottoms, usually associated with negative news, and it occurs, figuratively speaking, when the last seller is sold. So we did not see the February low. We didn't. What we saw in the end of December and mid-January peaks for the Dow Jones and S&P, respectively, we saw that exhaustion on the upside. But after we see the exhaustion, we need confirmation. And the confirmation would have come 1st, 2nd, or 3rd of February. It did not occur, and that's why the market reset and rallied.
Tell me what you see when you see it. How do you know that you've reached that point of exhaustion? What is it that you are specifically looking at?
Well, there's an inflection point that occurs. We've gone back 44 years I've been in the investment business. And I created a number of indicators back in the 70s, and because I was working with an institution, and we had fairly large positions. I mean, not in relative terms to currently, but we were one of the largest institutions in the country, non-trust department institutions. And we had to sell into strength and buy into weakness. So we did. I created some models that were able to detect market exhaustion, trend exhaustion, the upside as well as the downside. And we did go back to the early 1900s with the charts that we were able to, you know, scavenger up at the time. And since then, we've computerized everything, and it does have good legitimacy. We've proven that in a number of occasions.
But I'm trying to understand what it is that you're seeing in the chart. Yeah,
it's a price relationship. Not get too technical. We're not technicians per se, but there's a relationship that seems to exist not only in the markets, but also if you use any type of trend, whether it's inventories or migration or economic statistical information, there's a comparison. Once you've had a recorded 9 consecutive closes greater than or less than the close 4 periods earlier, that establishes a trend. And once that trend is established, we start comparing the subsequent closes with the highs and lows 2 bars earlier. It sounds obtuse and pretty complicated, but it's not really that complicated. But it's got to occur in a certain sequence, and if it does occur, we typically see tops and bottoms.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, I didn't want to get into the technical aspects, but if you want to, we can go to
At this point, you would probably be way above my small brain. But on May 2nd, if I go back to that, you said, should the S&P 500 index close above 1891 or on one or two instances without falling to 1,884 in intraday trading, it would have peaked and then stocks would begin an 11% decline. So today, what do you see? The same thing?
Well, we could do it. I mean, it's the Dow Jones average is what we call right now a 12 countdown. And the New York Stock Exchange Composite is a 12, whereas, and also the S&P Futures is a 12. What we require is a 13 countdown to identify a peak or a trough. The S&P Cash is lagging by one day, so that's why we said two in that case. We've also derived price objectives, and the price objectives for the S&P Future and Cash is 1891 and 1894. So we've got to accomplish that. At the same time, we produced the 13th.
Basically, same forecast.
Yes. I mean, nothing's changed. And what we're seeing now is something that's a lot clearer. There's more clarity than there was last week. It looks like it will happen within the next 4 days.
All right. We'll watch for that. Tom DeMark.
Bloomberg, the first word. Weekday mornings at 5 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.